Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John.
And I'm Jake.
As we start to return to play with others outside of the playgroups we've been cultivating over the past year plus with the pandemic, we may meet players who are looking for advice on how to tune up a deck or two. It's not an easy feat, as there is no format quite like Commander, where deck building and individual expression are so central to the guiding philosophy of the format as a whole. There are ways that you can approach it that can be helpful and supportive, and can make your overall play experience a lot better.
So the first thing to consider when offering feedback on someone's deck is, do they even want the feedback?
It can be a really difficult thing if a person just had a game that went poorly, and they may be in a bad mood, they may be tilted. That is not the right time to say, here are ways you could make your deck better. Ask them how they think things went. Consider asking, are there things they like or dislike about the deck? They may then be prompted to ask you for advice. Offering unsolicited advice can be seen as insulting to other people, so you want to make sure that you are doing the right thing by your other players in your playgroup and offering advice when it is wanted.
A lot of it is also your approach. A lot of Commander decks are very personal things. They're a work of passion that someone has spent countless hours pouring into and picking out the right cards. So if you just come across as dismissive of their choices, that's not going to get the conversation off on the right foot.
There are some questions that can really get the conversation going in the right direction, though. One that I have been a big proponent of in several of the videos on the channel here is asking about a deck's critical turn, or the critical turn of decks you play against. This can be difficult, though, because for a lot of people, the idea of a critical turn is kind of a foreign concept. So I'll often ask things like, what turn do the people you play with really start to be popping off? Or when are other decks at the table starting to apply pressure or go for it? If there was a particular deck at the last game, which seemed to be the one that was driving the tempo of the game, I might ask, well, when are you really worried about that Cranko player who was in the last pod? Remember, it's not always the turn that your deck is going to win by, but it can also be the turn that your deck is starting to address other people's threats and be able to address those other players who are trying to go for the win, or at least pressure towards the win at that time.
This can be a difficult metric to judge on your deck without seeing it in play, so a lot of the times you'll have to get a sense of this after sitting down and playing a couple games with the deck in two different pods.
The next thing you want to consider asking is, what kind of goal or game plan does the player's deck have? How does an ideal turn go for that player when they're playing the deck? How does that deck want to close out the game? Even these can be kind of difficult questions to ask a player, particularly if they're less experienced with that deck or less experienced with Commander in general. So one excellent piece of advice I picked up, and I'm sorry I heard this from somebody on Twitter, but I do not have their username saved at the moment, was what would your ideal hand or battlefield look like when you're going for it, or when your deck is really doing what it wants to do? Literally tell them to pick their cards out of their deck and show you what it would look like.
A lot of the time, the term magical Christmas land is used kind of dismissively in talking about Magic decks, but this would be a good way to bring it up and just ask the other player, hey, what would the perfect situation for your deck to showcase how it works be?
This gives you an idea of what you can try to help them build towards. If they're identifying what they really want to do is get a particular pet card onto the battlefield, then you may want to make suggestions which help to facilitate that. Additional tutors for that particular type of card, additional card draw to hit that more frequently, and potentially ways to get that pet card back from the graveyard if it happens to be destroyed.
Another thing you can ask is, what issues are you running into when you're playing against other decks? Are there any particular strategies or cards that you're seeing that are causing you problems and preventing you from doing your thing? Does your deck have any specific weaknesses that you want to try to address? Things like color fixing, or not having answers to the threats your opponents have, or not being able to apply pressure once you think you have a good board state, things like that.
One good way to approach this is to say, were there any times in the last game or the last few games where you felt like there was something missing from what you wanted to be able to do? Did you feel like there was a creature that you weren't able to have a good answer for, or was providing a lot of pressure on you that prevented you from executing on your game plan? Did you find you were having trouble getting to your third black mana in your two-color deck? Did you find that there was an enchantment that slowed you down that you simply couldn't find a way to get to? Or did you simply reach a point where your hand was empty and couldn't find a way to get it filled back up again? These can all be ways to try to guide the conversation with another player.
Additionally, when tweaking a deck, there are considerations of power levels. Are you trying to make the deck more optimized, or are you trying to possibly make it more casual to fit in with a playgroup?
This is a conversation that Jake and I have had a few times now, as we're trying to figure out how do we have decks not just for our CDH games, but also for games with the more casual members of our playgroup. A lot of the more casual decks would have a lot of trouble keeping up with an opening of Turn 1 Mountain, Mox Diamond, Mana Crypt out of Neheb, for example.
Currently, I'm in essentially two different online playgroups. I have one that is competitive focus, and then one that's more casual, where I think at least half of the players have only started playing Magic this year. So it's two very different environments, and I've been trying to tweak my decks to fit into those two different environments, which has been a learning experience for me.
A much more common question tends to be, well, how do I make my deck stronger so that I can keep up with the other decks in the pod? That's something we're going to discuss in a little bit more detail in a few moments. But there are other questions that we really do want to make sure that we ask before we start making suggestions.
For instance, a lot of players will have pet cards in their deck, just cards that they think are particularly interesting for some reason, and they just really want to keep these in there. So it is beneficial to identify if there's any of these firm no-change cards in the list. That way you don't waste time suggesting that these cards get cut.
You should also ask if there's any particular cards that the player really does not want to include. Super staples, or cards that are commonly seen on the EDH Rec saltiest card list, these tend to be ones that people will often attempt to avoid out of principle, out of enjoyment, or simply because of the expense of the card. Ask in advance what are cards that are no-goes for this particular deck.
Speaking of expensive cards, budget is another thing to keep in mind. Talk with the player and find out if they have a particular budget in mind. Also, this is a fantastic time to bring up the concept of proxying cards if your environment is friendly to that.
Once you have a firm grasp on what the player is looking for with their particular deck, this is when you can start making suggestions. But before you can really start to make suggestions of what cards to add, you have to do the more difficult task. You have to suggest cuts.
I've noticed, especially online, when people post their deck lists and ask for advice, they will be inundated with, hey, you should add this card, you should add this card. And nobody really does the hard work of suggesting the cuts from the deck.
For example, cards which have a very high mana value and aren't part of that ideal board state that the player laid out for you when you asked them what their ideal turn would look like, those are potentially good cards to be removed from the deck, as they offer a lower impact to what that player considers to be really interesting and really the goal of the deck, while also being cards that are often dead in their hands and less likely to see play.
Especially for digital deck lists, things posted on Moxfield or Archideck, I like to initially sort by mana value and start focusing the scalpel, if you will, on the higher mana value cards. That way you can increase the deck's consistency, increase its speed a little bit, and help the players not have cards that just, like John said, sit dead in their hand over the course of a game.
This is also the time to look at non-pet cards that the player is including, which may have a more efficient or synergistic version that exists somewhere in another printing.
For instance, Bar the Gate is a counterspell for creatures and planeswalkers for 2 generic and a blue. It's from the most recent Adventures in the Forgotten Realms set. While the single blue pip may be attractive for multicolor decks, a lot of times there are cheaper counterspells that are also more unconditional that could be a better fit for the deck.
Another thing to look into is to look at the categories for cards that might be overloaded. The categories we often look at are things like mana ramp, card advantage, or answers. It can be a real interesting experience to look at somebody's deck and see that their deck, which is actually quite efficient and is curving out very early, is running 17 pieces of land ramp, for example. And this may be a good place where you can start to suggest some cuts from that area to make suggestions into other areas of the deck where things are lacking.
Having just come off of the pre-release, a lot of players will have new cards that they've opened straight from the packs that look particularly appealing or shiny, especially if they've performed well in that limited environment, so they want to add those into the deck. Sometimes these are pet cards that you don't want to suggest cutting, but other times they may have just been convenient cards sitting around as the decks were being made. So these could be potential upgrade spots.
Remember when you were first starting out with Commander and you simply went to your shoebox full of cards and looked for what cards you could cobble together into a deck to play this great new format with your friends? I remember specifically going through my box of cards and pulling out every single card that said the word rat on it so I could build my first Marrow Gnawer deck.
For me, I remember it was specifically the Legends. This was a while ago before there were quite as many options for legendary creatures, so it was literally just what I had sitting around. So I put all my green cards into a Kaisa deck, because that was one of the only legendary creatures I had. Another thing to ask the player is, are there any cards you notice sitting in your hand over the course of a game? For instance, something that they're just holding on to for the right moment, but the right moment doesn't always come up. Or something that's just prohibitively expensive to cast. A lot of these cards can sound really great in certain circumstances, but if those circumstances don't come up, then they're basically a dead card.
Once we've identified these cards, which are potential cuts, now is the time where we can start suggesting new cards for the deck. We already mentioned that sometimes you will find a player who is running cards which are not really particularly efficient, or there is a more synergistic version of the card which has been printed in another set for their particular commander. We mentioned before Bar the Gate as a new counterspell from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Again, that 2 and a blue, a single blue pip, may be fairly attractive, but there are other options that may exist that you can replace that with. For example, someone has an Arcane Denial laying around from an old commander precon. Well, that is only 1 and a blue, it'll counter anything. May make your opponents draw some cards too, but that might be what their group hug deck really wants over a Bar the Gate.
Other cards to consider are ones that synergize directly with the commander. A deck with Sithis Harvest Hand could probably make better use out of a Wild Growth than it could over a Kodama's Reach. This is also doubly nice because for players that want to stray away from the quote-unquote staples list, this will allow you to get some more niche, weird-looking cards in there that actually synergize with the commander.
Modal cards are another great way to make players feel like they're participating in a game more. For example, Shatter has been printed to death all the way back to Alpha. 1 and a red, destroy target artifact. This cost for this effect has long been quite outstripped, and now there are modal cards which offer destroy an artifact, often with additional upside.
One such card would be You Find Some Prisoners. It is 1 generic and a red, an instant from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Choose 1, break their chains, destroy target artifact. Or interrogate them, exile the top 3 cards of target opponent's library. Choose 1 of them. Until the end of your next turn, you may play that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it. So this is going to give you all the power of a Shatter effect, plus the flexibility of having it do something else if there is no artifact in play that you particularly want to destroy.
The more times that a player can feel like they have options to take game actions at the table, the more likely they are to walk away from that game feeling like they mattered, and their game plan and their play had an impact over the course of the game as a whole.
Another option for these modal cards would be cards with cycling. This is essentially giving all of your cards a modal effect of either playing the main spell or cycling it to draw a card. It's a good way of including sideboard-ish cards in your main deck that don't wind up being dead in your hand if they don't have a direct application. You can always just pitch them and draw a new card.
Finally, you may suggest some aspirational cards that players may want to save up towards or proxy, whichever meets their preferences more. For example, it's very common for new players to make use of what lands they find in draft packs or in a box that they bought, and just use those to build their mana bases. Oftentimes, suggesting rare land cycles, such as shock lands, as ways to upgrade those mana bases over time can be a great way to provide some long-term direction for deck building and improvement.
A solid mana base isn't exactly a flashy or super appealing thing, especially for a new player, but it's something that can go into nearly every deck you build from that point on. I think it's very much the eat your vegetables of deck building. It will help you very much in the future. It is good for you, even though it's not quite as cool as a big dragon.
This could even include cards as simple as Path to Exile or Swords to Plowshares, cards which you or I might find to be really common and ubiquitous. But to a new player, spending a few dollars on getting a printing of Swords to Plowshares could actually be something that is truly aspirational for them. Making these suggestions for cards which are going to get them the most bang for their buck across whatever deck they wind up building in the future, these are the suggestions that really help somebody feel like they're continuing to be invested in the format and make them feel like they are a part of the format where they're not simply getting rid of a deck once it's done. They can strip it for parts, as we often say, to lead into building their next big project.
So whenever someone asks you for feedback on their deck, just keep in mind that Commander decks are very personal. Don't just trash their deck. Offer constructive feedback, and it's ideal if it still feels like their deck at the end, because then they're going to be more engaged with the game.
Consider some of the questions that we suggested, particularly the idea of what does the perfect turn look like for you? What is your perfect hand and your perfect board state? Knowing what the person is trying to build towards, they may be able to give you an answer to that better than they ever could explain their deck's game plan or critical turn. As much as I enjoy exploring those concepts, it is not something that's commonly understood and can be difficult to ask players for. We also want to throw it out there to you. How do you give feedback to players who are looking for advice with their decks? How have you asked for advice in the past? Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at Gemstone Mine MTG.
And I am at Necropotency.
You can also reach Alex on Twitter at Gemstone Alex. And you can send us an email at gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John.
And I'm Jake.